Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to the work session for the City of Cedar Hills. Today is Tuesday, November the 21st, 2017. I have 6 p.m. I'd like to call our meeting to order. We will need a motion to go into closed session pursuant to State Code 52-4-204 and 52-4-205. So I'd like to make that motion now. Thank you.
I move that we go into closed session pursuant to State Code 52-4-204 and 52-4-205, 1CDB, to discuss pending or reasonably imminent litigation, to discuss the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property, and to discuss the sale of real property. And this meeting will be held in the basement of the community center. And also pending or reasonably imminent litigation.
Thank you. Have a motion. Is there a second?
Second that.
So, second to the May. Let's have a roll call vote. Mr. Bailey?
Aye.
Mrs. Anderson?
Aye.
Mrs. Reese?
Aye.
Motion was unanimous. For those that are here, we have two council members that are not. That is a majority vote. So we will ask those who are not supposed to be here to leave and start the matter. Regular session. The items that I want to go over, I want to go over the action item on the signage for Walmart. So, Chandler, why don't you bring the topic forward?
So, we reached out to Walmart and told them about the meeting. And my last conversation with somebody in Arkansas was that they were going to have somebody here from the board to talk about the proposal. That was a couple of weeks ago, so hopefully someone's here tonight to represent Walmart. Which one is this? So Walmart is going through the process of redesigning, but to updating the branding on their stores. Our store, believe it or not, is now 10 years old, and it's in need of some, you might see that they removed some of the stamped concrete parts, which some of your days and things don't break on the way out. But what they're proposing, what their standard store now is they paint them gray, and they have an orange corner on the building that they designate as the online pickup. You order online, you go pick up at that corner. A few months ago, probably 7 or 8 months ago, when I was talking to somebody at Walmart, they said that was their standard plan, and I said, you realize that this isn't a stucco building, this is a fully red building you're proposing to pay for, right? And I don't think the person on the phone knew that. So when Walmart actually made their presentation, I was pleased that wasn't part of the equation. It was just what they're proposing. So what they're proposing are some major changes in their signage and some minor changes in their signage. Starting with the minor, on the north and south side of the building, they have a sign that says outdoor living. It's kind of a dark tan stucco area. They're changing that to lawn and garden. I feel like that's a very minor, almost insignificant change. On the front of the building, however, there's two changes. One is a designated pickup point on the northwest corner. And normally you see on their prototype supercenter, you see the whole entire from the floor to the ceiling, you see a corner of the building painted orange. What they're proposing in Cedar Hills is simply a what they call it a badge, a smaller area, designating that as the pickup area. That is brick right there. So they may need to, if that was something the council were to approve, they would probably have to come from some way to have that be orange and hopefully not ruining the brick. The blue, on the other hand, is a stucco area. It's not brick. And right now it's this dark tan stucco as you walk in. And so this would be changing the painting the stucco, not necessarily the brick. There's some confusion on the planning commission's part on that regard. They had the thought that this was brick. So that is the proposal. There's some interior changes, but those are mostly building department, shelving.
Hey, anybody have any questions on this issue? Personally, I don't mind the pickup designation area. I really mind the blue backdrop on the sign. I feel like Walmart knew what they were getting into with our store 10 years ago. And
yeah, personally, no problem.
We already did though.
But it was tan back 10 years ago. You dictated that, right? Because somebody back then, I like blue now.
So the city we'll let them change if they want. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I said.
Okay.
When you look at the overall picture, it's not totally offensive. I mean, would I want it done? No, but I feel like Walmart, we need to be friends with Walmart. They're our biggest self-tax revenue, you know, provider. And I think I've seen Walmarts close up shop in cities where things don't go their way. They did it in American Fork. And I don't want them ever to close up shop and walk away from Cedar Hills. I mean, I'm not saying we let them do whatever they want, but the overall look is not totally offensive to me. Not my case, but.
Mrs. Race?
So I was looking at Hearts, because their sign's a little unique too. They actually have a different color background. It's like a metal, that rectangle.
Yeah, theirs is a mounted sign.
Yeah, so. But I mean, it's not earth tone. It's silver, and then like a big rectangle, and then they have Hearts on the sign there. So I'm just curious if the council would have been okay with something like that for Walmart, like a rectangular blue with Walmart on the rectangle in that area.
Yeah. That doesn't take up the entire space up into the east.
Yeah. Because my question is, if the council would have been okay with that, then I'm not seeing a huge difference. I mean, I agree. This is a hard one because it doesn't really fit with that whole colonial look. Neither does the heart sign to me, though. But I agree with what Denise said in that unfortunately, I hear too often that Cedar Hills is known to not be easy to work with when it comes to development. And I'm really worried about when the state is getting ready to allow development right across the street from us. If we're hard to work with and they're super easy, we might miss out on opportunities to get the kind of development we want if we get super, become super big. This is a hard one. So I'm just curious, like I said, on the heart sign, it's also unique. I wonder if Walmart would be open to something like that, if the council would be something open to something like that. I don't know, I'm curious.
I mean, I suspect in 10 years they may come with a completely different design. It's just stuck on. And then you're going to paint the cycle for green.
That was my only change
as well when they changed their
painting brick to me is one thing versus painting stucco.
Mm-hmm. Painted brick is hot right now.
When I know. Right now.
And it's white.
Keywords right now, though.
Especially white.
But where I've seen brick be unpainted,
yeah.
Trying to remove the paint, it never really looks the same.
True.
But stucco, you can change the color and feel like not really.
You paint it, any color you
want. Yeah, so that's where I say this is stucco, it's not the brick portion. The brick portion they're proposing to paint is the pickup sign itself. So that's where I would say, I think maybe a better recommendation would be a sign similar
to
two hearts, where they have something mounted on the sign.
So I might even see where that is. I think that would be even better for them.
And I think that this is, people are going to really like the pickup option here at our store. So I think that's going to be a
move. Mr. Bailey?
I like it personally. It faces 4800 West, which is it's not like any of the neighbors are looking at this blue or this orange sign. I'm just looking at the overall building.
Okay, thank you.
I will say on the pickup side, I know some residents, myself included, are shopping at other Walmarts because they have the pickup service. So if we can get that will bring more people back to our Walmart.
Okay, let's move on to item number 15 regarding
Jeff.
Building plans. Are you doing that or Jeff?
Jeff's going to do this one.
Come on, Jeff.
Oh, can I
address real fast for Jeff? Here's an email sent today from Barbara Ramos. And I think that her, and I emailed her, I've gotten in touch with her. And it seemed to her that this building plan code was in response to what she was proposing. And I had to tell her these are completely two separate issues.
Yeah, I felt like too. When I read that letter, I didn't see how that applied to her.
Yeah, so just as an FYI.
Mayor, Council, this proposal is more of a clarification. The International Building Code and International Residential Code both have references that plans and plan documents being submitted for permit would be prepared by a design professional if required by city ordinance or code. And we've run into a situation we haven't in the past. In the past, it's been pretty open. Commercial has always been prepared by design professionals. Residential, if it requires designing, which most of the homes in Cedar Hills do, then they provide that. However, if it's a basement remodel or a basement finish or a remodel project that doesn't require that, then pretty much accepted any type of a reasonably drawn plan that indicates the scope of the work, and we're able to determine that it meets the code requirement. We just like to clarify that at this time that the city would require commercial plans and documents to be prepared by a design professional, and that residential code or residential construction would not require design professional. They just have to be reasonable, readable plans on
just on a sort of scale.
Right. A scale and on appropriate paper or something. I mean, we have had some turned in that have been just written on a napkin with a paper sketch, and you can't read what they're writing. And we have sent them back and said, no, you have to put them on graph paper or something. And we have had them that have come in on graph paper and colored pencils, and we'll accept them if we can recognize what it is that they're trying to do. So that's kind of the purpose of this. We ran into an issue with a commercial plan that took almost 3 months to get approved, simply because they would send them in and there's items that they don't understand, and they don't meet the requirements, plan reviewer would reject them, and we can't design it for them. All we can do is put down, we recommend that you get a design professional to assist you with this plan. Eventually, that's what it came down to. And it cost them a lot of time, which cost them money, cost the city a lot of time. So in an effort to clarify that, we're proposing this language change that would designate those two items.
So it only applies to commercial business?
Yes, the design professional submitted plans would always be with commercial. Residential plans, there is already code language that specifies that if it requires non-international residential code prescriptive methods, so if they're putting in large beams, posts, hoodies, that type of stuff, they already have to be designed by an engineer, and the plans need to be prepared by the design professional. So no changes on residential.
So what about something like Barbara's outbuilding or Irish School of Dance, where it's a separate building that's used for commercial purposes?
To determine that would be residential. That would be an accessory structure to a residential dwelling, and would have to meet the residential requirements with the application of the commercial requirements within the dwelling, commercial entity, I guess you'd say. It's a home business. And that's my understanding.
The premises occupation code, Title 3-1E, specifically calls out that these accessory structures are to be treated as residential. So it would be treated as just the same any other accessory building fit for occupancy, is my understanding.
Yes.
So there would be some things that would have to be done, which if it's fit for occupancy, you have to have a heat source in the building, just as an example.
What about a restroom? You don't require that, right? Just
no, I don't believe so.
Home businesses, we do require that they have adequate egress and fire protection, not sprinkler systems per se, but fire extinguishers visible on site, CO detectors, that kind of stuff. It's already required in a home business.
That would be the same as if you walk into a salon, they have to have a fire extinguisher as well. So it's almost like we're treating it as a home-based business outside of the home.
Anybody else have questions for Mr. Mott? All right, thank you, Jeff. All right, we're going to go to item number 17. Cheryl is probably going to discuss the golf cart lease agreement. So
this one's actually Greg.
Oh, Greg, there you are. Come on up. Tell us what's going on.
Council, good evening. We are due finally to turn our carts in. If you remember, it was a year and a half ago, we had the issues with the batteries. We had to change out all the batteries in the carts, and we continue to have problems with the batteries. So we are proposing to move to a lithium ion battery, which is environmentally friendly. Batteries in the typical cart are 328 pounds. The lithium ion carts, 49 pounds, so it's a lot lighter, which is better for the turf. It is a zero emissions, greener battery technology. In order to fit this within our budget, we are recommending dropping from 80 to 78 so that we can fit that in there. You should have all gotten the testimonial from Brent. He's extremely happy with them. We did have them send us one down. We tested it, demoed it. January, even drove it. Great car. The best thing is it's the batteries are covered 100% up here. So that's kind of the bonus. What questions do you have?
Are these batteries going into the kernel?
No, all the cars, only. So we're prepared to have them picking up around probably the middle to end of December of the current parts that we have. When they will deliver the new ones, they have to order them, and then they'll deliver them and put together an empty.
Same company?
Yeah, it's RMT who we've worked with in the past. They're the only one that have the lithium ion battery parts right now. And Sleepy Ridge actually is getting theirs delivered, I think. So they're switching over to them as well. Great car.
Sorry, a quick question. I noticed there were several accessories that you optioned. Another option. Did you offer any?
We're just going to purchase those in this year's budget. So it won't affect the lease payments. And they actually are going to let us keep a sanded seed bottle from every cart currently. They don't have use for them. So we're actually going to have two on each cart, which is beneficial to the golf course.
Still have a ball washer.
Still have a ball washer. And then we're going to actually have an information sign inside the cart. So we can actually put things like a motor in or tournaments, names, and stuff like that as well. And those price wise, that wasn't bad at all, actually.
Thank you. Any other questions?
No, I just want to say after reading this, I was super excited. Because I have a golf cart myself. I hate that thing. I hate the batteries. They've been so much trouble. They've caused property damage. They've ruined the floor in my garage. Yeah. They are a nightmare. So I was really excited when I saw this.
Yeah, this won't drip at all. And it actually charges in half the time, too.
That's right.
Steve, you can get a good deal for Denise.
That's right. How much? Tell me how much. I want one.
Batteries are getting so much better. I heard a story today that in 5 years, you're not even going to believe the technology. So
I can't wait.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate your work. Next is we have one discussion item tonight. And so that's item number 18, RFQs for professional services. Chandler, why don't you give us your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so we have two contracts that are coming up due in the next 6 months, I should say. One's coming up due in the next 2 months, one's coming up due at the end of April. They are for our park maintenance agreement with Chris Wilkinson, and that will come to due at the end of this calendar year. But there's not a whole lot going on in park maintenance right now, so we're trying to work out that off together. The second one is for our municipal waste collection, which is through waste management. And that one's due at the end, that one's term expires at the end of April. Let me take those contracts one by one. The park maintenance contract, as you recall, is something you've been on the council for a few years now. We re-upped in 2015, and that is the, we granted him, that was in 2014, we granted him his last 3-year extension. So at this point, he is wanting us to go out to bid. He's not wanting us, there's not an option for just a 3-year extension here. He wants us to go out to bid, we need to go out to bid. And so we've been working with Mr. Shaw, Jeff's department has been very instrumental, as well as Charles and Greg, everyone's putting a lot of input on this. Just finding out what exactly the city's needs are as far as the maintenance contract is concerned, and making sure that the RFP reflects everything that is currently being done, as well as everything that needs to be done. So that one we're anticipating a decision in January. The second one is a little bit more complicated. And I've invited Beth Holbrook. She's our waste management representative. She's also the president of the Utah League of Cities and Towns. She's a council member up in Bountiful. She's going to be here tonight to answer some questions. I invited Risa Mill, who also is a Cedar Hill resident that works for Republic Services and is very interested in this process as well. He was not able to be here tonight. But I told him I would fill him in on any discussion that occurs tonight. The
waste management. Do you expect proposal from anyone other than the Republican?
Probably one from Ally, maybe. Grace. Or maybe Ace. Those are really the four players in the area. The current waste management contract was renewed as a new contract in 2011 with a 5-year term. At the end of that 5-year term, there's a 2-year extension. The 2-year extension expires at the end of April. And it only calls out for one room for one extension. So you really have to go out to bid on this one. My personal feelings, I spent some time today looking through the old decision surveys that the city's done over the last few years. If you go back in the mid-2000s, waste management was poorly rated, very poor. I don't know why, but just as a city service, they were very, very low. In 2014 or 15, when we did the last decision surveys, they rated easily the highest. So I think they've put in a lot of work to be good members of the community. Quite frankly, they're really easy to work with. They're really good to work with. The waste management contract, any contract for municipal solid waste requires, if you're going to change providers, the biggest issue, logistical issue that you're going to face is cans. Do you straight up purchase the old cans from the old provider, or do you build new cans into the contract, the price of the new contract? That's something the city council will have to decide, and that does affect the terms of the contract. Each can costs approximately $65, and that's usually amortized over the course of a 5-year agreement. So in speaking with Reese Mill tonight, or this afternoon, he recommended that in the new contract that the city puts in language, and I like this idea, that the city owns the cans at the end of the agreement. So that way, because what's going to happen is waste management already has their cans here. There's no upfront capital cost for them to rebid. So they can bid lower because their cans are already in the city. At the end of a new contract, if there were language that says at the end of the 8 years the city owns the carts, then it's more of an apples to apples price contract or proposal. So that was something that I thought was really interesting. But wanted to give you a timeline that those RFPs are going to go out here in the next couple of weeks. We're working on some final language with Mr. Shaw, and then council will make a decision on that in January. So, any questions?
Although, the only thing I might say about waste management, and I think the change from decision survey, I believe waste management stepped up. I think in the day there was a lot of confusion. They didn't have step routes. I think people expect in public utilities to have a very consistent basis, and I think they've done that for probably the last 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
Very consistent, almost always on the same time, so you know when your cans go out. It's when it's the confusion. It's like all of a sudden they did a different route one day, and then you're used to get your cans out by 9, but they were there at 7:30.
Yeah.
That really would upset that. Upset.
And one other thing that waste management does is maybe you correct. Lines manner is that your cans broken, as you can wash or something. You can tell the city that, and we create a list, and waste management sends out an individual. I think it's once a week.
It is.
It's once a week. So I see them all the time.
They're replaced.
Where they were replaced and come repair your cans. So I feel like they've done a good job there.
I know that if you forget to put your can out, you can call them and they'll come pick it up and not charge you anything.
That's
really.
Depends on what time of day, though. If it's at 5 o'clock, forget it.
One of the things is we've been with waste management as a city since, what was it, like early 90s, 91 we saw a contract for.
Yeah.
So we're approaching 30 years of this region. So, that is a good partnership, but there are other options, and I think that's what it's important. Waste is a great guy. Yeah, he deserves a chance.
Mm-hmm. He does.
One of the, for sure,
One of the issues that brought this kind of to a head, though, was that there was a House Bill 115 last year that was passed that treats, and Beth is going to come and she can answer a lot of your questions, but it changed classifications of landfills to basically either a commercial landfill or you're a non-commercial landfill. And this bill said that each had to be treated fairly. But commercial landfills is any commercial landfill that is not used for public use. So we have a non-commercial landfill that we go to. But a commercial landfill can actually take out-of-state waste as long as it's not deemed hazardous by the state of Utah. So they could, California, which deems just about anything hazardous, could ship a lot of their waste to these commercial landfills and they would have to pay the tipping fees there, but they couldn't be going to a non-commercial landfill. There's also an additional cost for being a part of a transfer station. The city is part of a transfer station, part of North Point Solid Waste District, which is a transfer station for use of solid waste. That waste now currently goes to, it's going to go to Bayview in 4 years. I don't remember where it goes right now, but they bought into this new era project, which is Bayview, which has a 100-year capacity for the landfill. There's an 11 cent per ton cost increase, according to the bill. And that's why I included the tonnage in your packet. City currently, last year there was like 3,600 tons of municipal solid waste. So we're looking with this price increase of $405, something like that, which is pretty small. So I don't think that transfer station fee is a huge concern. Just a concern.
Okay, thank you very much. All right. We're going to take about a 14-minute break. We'll be back right at 7 o'clock. We've got to possibly have a long meeting time. So, thank you.